at this passage, we see the opening words, I am the true vine. And this is one of the sayings of Jesus, I am. He's asserting his authority, his authenticity. He's almighty. I am. And anybody hearing him saying that would recognise what he was saying with that stamp of authority, I am. And he's the God of history, the present and the future. And we remember he's also the Good Shepherd. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. And here he says, I am the true vine. When he's emphasising here, true vine, the vine is talked about all through the Old Testament as being the people of God, Israel. And so that's why he's stressing here that he is the true vine. Because the people of God have gone off the rails a bit, lost the way, and he's bringing them back. He's saying, I am the true vine. I am who God is using to represent. He is the Son of the Father. And it's also, he's saying, I am the true vine. Come to me, because there are so many other things which attract. We can be attracted by all sorts of things which seem great, which seem nourishing, which seem a good thing. But when we go to them, we find they're false, and they're not sustaining, and they don't support us. They don't give us the real deal. And here Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. You can come to me, you can trust me. And he goes on to say, my Father is the gardener. So this vine isn't just left abandoned to do its own thing, but there's a gardener who is tending to it, nourishing, giving it attention, and also pruning. Because as my mother will tell me, when she comes to my pot plants at my house, you haven't been looking after them. Because I just, as long as there's a bit of green and a bit of colour, I think they're alive. They're fine. Good job I don't do that as a nurse, isn't it? But Mum is always saying to me, you need to prune, you need to get rid of the dead flowers so that fresh ones will come up. And that's what we're seeing here, that the gardener prunes, getting rid of what doesn't have any value, of what is causing an obstruction, of what's not healthy for the vine. And he does that in our life. So when we know many scriptures says to us that God rebukes us because he loves us. So as we come into his presence, this holy God, he is going to challenge us. His Holy Spirit is going to convict us of things in our life that isn't right. But he does it out of love because he wants to prune us. He wants to get rid of those bits that aren't helping us in our relationship with him and our relationship with others. So vine isn't left abandoned, it's cared for. As we see in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to. Just take a moment to read that to yourself. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We've just been singing about resting in God. There's nothing we have to do. Jesus has done everything. And we are made clean by what he has done for us. Yes, we want to follow him and we want to please him as his children, but we're not doing it to make us clean, because it's Jesus who's made us clean. So we're already in the right place. If we've acknowledged our sin to God and we've asked him to forgive us because of what Jesus has done, we're made clean. End of story. And so that is wonderful, wonderful promise, that as we turn to the living word, to Jesus, we are made clean. And so we can just carry on from that point. It's not a case of like when we're doing any course or exam, we've got to think, oh, I've got to get a certain percentage in order to pass. No, we're already starting from that point that we are 100% clean and we're made righteous. And that is just such a wonderful position to be in. What a privilege and what a sense of security as God's children. And it says, the word I have given to you, personal. He's not just saying, oh yeah, you know, because you live in England and you go to the Church of England, I'll accept you because you're one of my mob, the religious mob, you know. No. He's saying, I have made you clean. Paul, Alison, Luke, Philip, all of us, individual. He knows our lives. He knows the message we've got into, but he has made each one of us clean because he loves us. Nothing is impossible for God. And then he goes on to say about remaining in me. So this is where there is that interactive. It's a relationship. And so remain in me. We need to focus on him. We need to look at him. Just as a plant has to look at the sun, has to be aware, has to open up its leaves to receive, and has to dig its roots down to get the water and the nourishment. So we have to focus on God, on his word, focus on his Holy Spirit, ask his Holy Spirit to teach us, to protect us, to guide us. And we need to put our roots down in God's word, in meeting together, and in really wanting to be that vine, wanting to be that branch that is well stuck in, well secure in the true vine. And I'm going to be slipping in and out of talking about the plant and talking about our relationship, but I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, because this is an image, it's an example to us of our relationship with God. So we can't exist alone. Any of those branches of the vine could be beautiful, gorgeous leaves, gorgeous fruit, and, you know, might think, oh, you know, I don't need the rest of the plant, I'll just go off on my own. Don't think that will work somehow. And it's the same for us. No matter how confident we feel, no matter what experiences we've had, we need to keep into that true vine. And that means that we need each other. We can't go it alone. We need one another. Because we're not just a collection of individuals, but we are a corporate society. We're to be together. A few of us were at Transform Northwest Training Day yesterday, and you really get that sense there. It was the second meeting, and they're emphasising again and again on our relationship with God as individuals, that we need to constantly seek that relationship with God, and also we need to be seeking our relationship with one another, because we need each other. We can complement each other with our different experiences, our different gifts, and we need to care for one another. And so as we look at this wonderful example of the vine, we need to remember that it's the desire of the Father for us to bear fruit, so that people will look at us and know that we follow Jesus, that we are his disciples. But we won't do that if we don't keep well into the vine, to be nourished, to be pruned, to keep healthy, both in our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. So it's just a short reflection on this very familiar but powerful passage of reminding us of what Jesus, who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what he goes on doing through the Holy Spirit. So it's not just something to look at and go, oh yeah, that's a nice picture, but it's a living, living example of how we need to walk each day as we seek to follow Jesus. And as we think today, especially today, as we're thinking of our prayer and our healing being made whole, this is what we need to remember to be whole. It's to keep looking at Jesus, to keep rooted in him. Because as we make those mistakes, as we get distracted by things, his Holy Spirit will draw us back, will protect us, and help us to keep well rooted. So as we think about this service and we think about our relationship with God, it may be that there are things going through your mind and in your heart that you think, I really want to get that right. And nobody is perfect. We've all got to get things right all the time. But this is just an opportunity, if you want to, again, just quietly sitting where you are, or perhaps in a kneeling position, or coming to the rail. If you want to mean business with God, please just be quiet before God. Just ask him to speak to you. Ask him, just give him your time. Our time is so precious, but our lives don't have any value and will be totally without direction if we don't have time with God, our creator and protector and sustainer. And so we'll just have a moment of quiet now where we come into his presence and we just ask him in an attitude of prayer to speak to us, to shine a light on those areas of our lives, whether it's a physical injury like Mary has at the moment, whether it's an emotional injury, whether it's psychological, whatever is going on in our lives, it may be spiritual. We may just feel that we want to follow God, but there's something that's just blocking the way. And God cares, God understands. We're told in Hebrews that Jesus is our high priest, and he has compassion and understands. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He understands the challenges that we face. And he doesn't just say, oh, shit, pull yourself together. But he draws alongside us, puts his arms around us, and wants to protect us and guide us on the way. So let's just have a moment of quiet, thinking about this picture of the vine, and just asking God to speak to us individually as our Heavenly Father. And as I say, if you'd like to come to the front, you don't have to say anything to me or Shirley, but if you want to say something for us to pray with you, it will be a privilege to pray with you. But if you just want to come forward, we can just lay our hands and just pray for you and bless you, because that's what God wants to do for each of us today. So as we go on thinking of those words of that song, break me, melt me, and then mould me and fill me. So let's ask the living God to mould us and fill us with his holy presence.